Welcome to the One Life Community Church podcast. Our mission is to lead people to follow Jesus in everyday life, and we hope that God uses this message to influence and encourage others to join us on that mission. We're glad you're listening. For more, please visit us online at onelifecc.org.
First of all, happy Mother's Day. And along with that, today we're going to we've been in this series, Frequently Asked Questions, and this goes right along with Mother's Day. So I wanted to start out with this question. How many of you would say that parenting has always been hard and difficult? Anybody? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you're not a parent. It's cool. It doesn't matter in this, you know, whether it's a newborn and you're just totally sleep deprived and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was not prepared for this. Or you have a toddler and there's the tantrums and they want what they want and they want it now. And that continues on into elementary school where, you know, then they start talking back and, you know, they're kind of testing the boundaries. Then they get older into teenage years, and then it's really testing the boundaries of like, well, how much can I do? How much can I get away with? It's difficult. I think about when I was growing up, it wasn't easy growing up as a child. My parents were divorced when I was really young. And so, you know, it was first, third, and fifth weekends with Dad. And then in that, they got remarried. And so then I had step-parents, and, you know, there's this one house and then this other house. And then you had school and trying to fit in and, you know, finding the right friends. And as you get older and to be a teenager, there's the peer pressure when it comes to different things and temptations and knowing who to hang out with and who not to hang out with. Life wasn't easy. But how many of you would say that today parenting might be harder than it ever has been? Anybody? And being a child or teenager might be more difficult than ever. Because I think it is. So a lot of children overwhelmed with anxiety and living in fear. And dealing with depression, I'm talking like 7, 8, 9 years old. There's a lot of bullying. Think about it like this: learning environments that now have lockdown drills and locks on doors for active shooters. Google's the go-to when it comes to information. We allow our kids to have one of these. I was reading a study on this. Just catch this. From 2010 to 2019, for 10 to 19-year-olds, the suicide rate in those 10 years had gone up 48%. For girls 10 to 14 years old, in that same amount of time, it went up 131%. Social media, this culture that's created by it for constant comparison and the pressure to perform and look good. This gives them all instant access to porn in their pocket while also sowing seeds of gender confusion, body dysmorphia. Just about anyone with this can have access to my child's life and influence my child's life. So in all of this, like, what's the goal in parenting? keep them alive, keep them safe? What do we want for our kids? A lot of us would say, well, we want our kids to be happy. I'm like, ooh, I don't know if that's the best answer. You know? Is that really what we want? Because kids' happiness tends to ebb and flow depending on if they get what they want, right? You know, if I get X, then I'm going to be happy. If you let me do Y, then I'll be happy. If not, I'll pout and push back. So happiness can't be the goal. Maybe like, what do we want for our kids? Success? We want them to be successful? Like, what does that even mean? Like, success in academics, success when it comes to grades, success in extracurricular? What do I want for my kids? What do we want for the next generation? And if you don't have kids, today's still for you. We all have a part in this. And so today I wanted us to just talk about this question of how can I be a better parent? Because I think any of us would say, I could do better. So that's what we're going to talk about. Father God, thank you for life. And remind us that you are the life giver, that you're over all, that you have us here for a reason and for a purpose, that you know us, you know right where we are, even today. I pray that today that by your Spirit, that you just lead us to truth, to what is true, to your truth, and that you'd show us more of who we are and you and who you are. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. If you have a Bible, you can open it up to Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's where we'll be. So just from the very beginning, you can just flip over a couple pages from the start. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And we'll be in chapter 6. I want to say this just to start out. I'm in this with you. Because I mess up a lot. So this is not, I feel like I just need to be sitting down beside you and not elevated up on a platform. Because today, even as I was preparing this over the last couple of weeks, just there's some hard truth, but I also want there to be help and helpful encouragement. And here toward the end, I'm going to have Emily Van come up and just share a little bit with y'all as well. I wanted us today to be reminded of where we can go, who we can go to, because things in our world are changing so fast. And I want us to be able to know where we can go to a place, to a person that does not change and that we can hold on to, especially when it comes to parenting. This quote has always stuck out with me. Samuel Johnson, he said, people need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed. What if we already have the information? We just need to apply it. So I want to remind you of a couple things here up front, some big truths. And the first one is this. There are no perfect parents. No perfect parents. Now, I don't care what you think about your parents. You'd be like, no, my parents were the best. They weren't perfect. They weren't. All have sinned and missed the mark of God's perfection. We all have. I have, you have. I'm sinful, I've failed, and I'm far from perfect. And since there are no perfect people, there are no perfect parents. Our parents did the best that they knew. Some of you need to hear that today. Your parents did the best that they knew. And I'm trying to do the best that I can. And there are changes at every stage of this parenting thing. And I fail and I try to fail forward and figure it out as I go. But I'm not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect. Another big truth that I want you to be reminded of is this, that my child is a gift and belongs to God. They're His before they're yours. They're from Him, and they're a unique gift from Him. Psalm 127, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a real blessing. And this is something that I picked up years ago. The blessings of God complicate our lives. They do. Think about it. When I was single, I just took care of myself. And I didn't really do that great of a job, you know. I could just do what I want when I wanted to do it. And I could just, you know, it was about me. I could be more selfish then. Then you get married. Guys, you know, a wife is a gift from the Lord, a blessing from the Lord. That complicates things, right? Becomes a little bit more complex. Some of you guys are laughing like, oh, yeah, whew, it complicates for sure. We need to think, yeah, we complicate a lot ourselves, guys. But when we're married, you know, it's more complex. And then you have kids. They are a blessing, but then the chaos, you know? So the blessings of God, they do. They complicate our lives. And in the complications, we can't forget. And we need to be reminded that children are a gift. And they belong to God. I mean, I think about this yesterday, just sitting in this room. And there are 217 kids in foster care in Wichita County. Somebody may have forgotten that they're a gift. Another truth when it comes to parenting, you are not alone. You're not alone. We have this in our kitchen, a cup towel, and it's just there, and it just reminds me. It says, I keep hearing, it takes a village to raise a child. Do they just show up, or is there a number to call? Like, we need each other. We're going to talk about this more later. But when things aren't going well, we have this internal battle. It happens to you. It happens to me. It's like, I'm sucking at this. This is horrible. I'm failing. I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad person. This is awful. And we have this internal dialogue that goes on in our minds. And we need to be reminded that we need each other and that you're not alone. And so one of the first and foundational teachings for us when it comes to parenting, we find here in Deuteronomy 6, and it is the Shema. This is a prayer it's the most famous prayer for Jews. And it basically, they pray it in the morning, they pray it at night. And I want to start out in this, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel. The word Shema means listen. So he's saying, listen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Shema, listen and love. Ahava. This is not this love that like, oh, I feel like I'm in love. No. This is this love out of loyalty, out of faithfulness, out of I love you and I'm following you, God. A love not set on rules, but a love out of obedience, because I know that you know what's best. So we see this Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he goes on. These commandments I give you today aren't really commandments, but suggestions. I'm giving them to you today, but one day the masses will say they're outdated. You'll want to change what I say to fit into your busy lives. In fact, compartmentalize what is now being a Christian into a 1 hour a week activity instead of a way of life. parents to delegate spiritual guidance to professionals and programs. Maybe save some money and send your kids off to summer camp to supplement the spiritual efforts of others. That's the new American subverted version of Deuteronomy 6. No, he says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. How can I be a better parent? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. He says here, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. All followers, to adults, all adults, to parents, because it starts with us and we can't give what we don't have. And some of us will say, and please hear me when I say this, this is my passion. Some of you will say, I don't know this. I don't know where things are. I don't know. It's okay. My passion is that you would want to know this so much that you do anything to know what's in here. Because this is the words of life. This is God showing you. And it's okay. Like, learn with your kids. You don't have to act like you have it figured out and you're teaching them. Like, that's one way of teaching. That, I mean, you learn as you go. Because in the early years, no one has a greater influence on your child than you. Look in the mirror. And this, modeling means everything. You see this all the time. For those of you who've had a little boy that's, 3 years old, 4 years old, and he goes and pees on a tree, it's because he probably saw his dad pee on a tree. They're watching. They're doing what we do. This word impress, he says impress, like right here, impress them, these commandments. Impress them on your children. This word impress is the word shanan, and it means to sharpen or to whet, W-H-E-T, like a knife. To sharpen, here's the thing, a knife does not sharpen itself. There has to be intentionality. Impress upon them, do the work to sharpen, to shape them, and to mold them so they know God and they know his commandments. Reminds me in Psalm 127, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Arrows, like being sharpened, but then also think about it like this. Those arrows just sitting there, they do nothing. They have to be guided and directed and pointed in a direction. And as parents, we're the ones who have that responsibility to point, to guide them. This is one of the things in being a parent. Kids need a parent, not a friend. And sometimes as kids get a little bit older, we want to be their friend, and then we're not the parent, and we just put down the bow and quit guiding them in a direction. And we just want to hang out with the arrow. This verse always stuck with me. Train up a child in the way he should go, And when he's old, he won't depart from it. I think, I thank my mom so much now for the ways that she just kept me in this. I love the Message translation of this, point your kids in the right direction, and when they're old, they won't be lost. Modeling only occurs by being present. You have to be with. In this, I mean, God, this is Deuteronomy. Talk about them. Talk about these commands when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. It's making the most of the moments that we have. I fail at this. I need to be reminded of this. I need to look in the mirror. He goes on and says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. For us, that just sounds really weird. But think about it like this, that our vision and our thoughts are guided by this. When it comes to our hands, it's our actions and what we do. He says, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. These are just reminders and symbols, traditions. Here's the thing. Those are all great, and we do live in a culture right now that's got symbols and all these different things, but our kids don't know why. Why is this important? What does this mean? And these reminders can be about rules with a relationship. And this is so important because I know a lot of people who just like Bible, 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 and then don't have a relationship with their kids. And rules without relationship leads to rebellion. The problem for many of us when it comes to modeling is either the lack of presence and us being present, or we live this do as I say, not as I do life. And this creates confusion and anger and resentment, and it's real. I'm not going to go. We live in a time right now where, you know, we go to church randomly, but do our kids see us in this? Do they see us being kind to people? Do they see us forgiving people? Do they see us serving people? Do they see us forgiving people, encouraging people? Because what they see, that's what they're going to take in. And if there's something about your child that you don't like, they've probably seen it from you, and they're modeling it. This is hard. This is why the looking in the mirror thing is so important for us, all the time. Lessons learned over some years. This seems kind of like a downer, but we're going to get up, all right? Just promise. There's going to be some hard truth, but there's helpful encouragement, all right? Here's one thing that I'm seeing now more than ever, and it has to do with fear and faith when it comes to parenting. I was just telling my youngest this a couple weeks ago. We were driving somewhere, and I go, you know what? It is crazy. I don't know if my parents just didn't care about me or what, but like when I was like in the sixth or seventh grade, me and my skater friends, we were skating from over here off Harrison and Kell all the way here downtown and going down the Hamilton parking garage on our skateboards. And then we go all the way over by the Bill Bartley Y, like in a day. And guess what? We didn't have phones. And I thought, man, were they just like, they didn't care? Now, think about that. If you had a sixth or seventh grader and you just let them, are you kidding me? No way. It's too much bad out there. So I want to acknowledge this. I want to acknowledge the fear. It is very real. But I also want to see the faith part of it for all of us. Do you know, just bear with me, do you know someone, personally, do you know someone whose child has been, don't raise your hand, someone's child who's been abducted? Just think about it. Some of you might know someone. Maybe. The reality is, with technology and all the stuff going on, we hear the one in a million story, and it gets replayed and repeated, and we hear this, and what is happening, listen, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind, and what is happening is we are getting overwhelmed with all of this bad and evil, and it's just in us, this fear, and then now we're helicopter parents, and we don't want our kid to fall on the playground. I mean, it's crazy to think about this. Like the fear of allowing a 10-year-old to walk around the block to a friend's house, and we have this fear, but we'll give them one of these and let them have access to anything all the time. And we're okay with that. Do you see what I'm saying? Because my fear and overprotection leads to their underdeveloped faith. And then they begin living lives afraid of everything. And I don't have time to get into all of this, but there is an underlying spiritual scheme of the enemy in all of this. And then we become afraid to parent. I learned this very early on. One of our kids was throwing a temper tantrum because they wanted something in the grocery store. I remember exactly where it was in United Market Street, and they wanted this thing, and they were really young, and they wanted it, and they were throwing a temper tantrum. And I had read a book, and I was like, oh, I'm about to see if this works. And so they were throwing, and I just was like, come on. They didn't. I just started walking. I went around the corner. There's no more visual contact. And I just still heard the little crying, and then all of a sudden, it stopped. And the next thing you know, like in that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, is somebody going to take my kid? I don't know. Are they going to take my kid? They might want to give them back. I don't know. But they learned, like, hey, I'm the boss. No, you're not getting that. No. Another one's, I got to hurry through these, correction and consequences. Those who don't correct their children hate them. But those who love them are careful to correct them. And here's the thing, the delivery of the correction is what matters. That it's out of love and not anger, and kids are different. I have one that, like, man, just will take the correction. It's okay. I have another child that I can just look at them the wrong way and just melt, you know? Correction's good for all of us. Just a little hint, there's a book I read a long time ago, Dr. Kevin Lehman, How to Have a New Kid by Friday. Amazing. And it just focuses on ABC, attitude, behavior, character. Attitude, behavior, character. Correction's good for all of us. In Hebrews here, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Mm-hmm, amen. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. My son decided when he was about 9, 10 years old that his sister She didn't handle correction that well, so he decided one morning, we're still asleep in bed, he decided that she needed to go to correction camp. I'm not making this up. This is real. We didn't find this out till a lot later. He got her up and was like, hey, here, you're about to, here's breakfast. There's a can of refried beans. Then he took her outside and made her like run sprints, made her, she couldn't do push-ups at that age, made her do sit-ups as he was spraying her with the water hose. You need to learn correction. It's correction camp. Oh my gosh, we found out and we were just like, oh wow. But he can handle it. He'll take the correction, you know. Consequences, too often we want to shield our kids from the pain of their choices. And if we don't let them feel the consequences and we step in for it, then we sit there and wonder later on why they keep making bad decisions. Like a phone call like, Mom, I forgot my lunch. Oh, well, you'll be okay. Hey, I left my clothes and we have this practice after. Sorry. Some of you are like, are you kidding me? No, I would take off work and go get, no. Consequences are not going to damage your child. Consequences create character. We had this just in the last couple of years. My son started driving and was 16. I don't even remember what he did. And we just took his keys. We're like, no, this is not your truck. You're not driving. We took him to school. And he was like, phew. We went through this. It's like a week. And then finally I said, I want you to read this one book. He read that book in less than 24 hours. With annotations, sticky notes on the highlights of the things that were important to him. The last one here, it's not the last one, golly, expectations and environments. Do our kids know our expectations? I'm bad at this. I had a 17-year-old come tell me the other night, hey, Dad, it would be a lot more helpful if you'd tell me what time to be home earlier in the night, if you'd say, hey, I need you to be home at this time, instead of us just kind of making our way through the night and being like, do I need to come home now? Because our kids don't have a curfew, because we talk about things, but I didn't set up the right expectation. Do we know our expectations, how we verbalize them? And I say expectation, not perfection. Because I've never wanted, like, show up, give your best. I just want you to give your best. Playing your grades, just give your best. You have a game or a performance, like, did you do your best? Because I care more about who you are than what you do. Earning versus entitled. Man, culture just reinforces that everyone gets a trophy, and I don't need a kid that goes, I participated, do I get my trophy? No, because one of the consequences of competing is that you lose. It happens. Don't do for them what they can do for themselves. Famous phrase at our house is, I'm not your cruise director. I'm not your cruise director, figure it out. Like, you want to have fun, you want to do something, figure it out. Like, let them have imagination. We always need to teach our kids how to be responsible and how to think of others. It's another common phrase that I hear a lot in my house. How can I help you? How can I help you? What can I do to help you? Environments, who they're around. We wouldn't let our kids sleep over at houses with people that we did not know. And we didn't know their kids, we didn't know them, because they might have some creepy uncle that lives in the back room. Just saying that we wanted the kids at our house so we know who's there. We know about them. Look at this. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So true. Who they're around. And the last one here, optional and essential. I will tell you this. In a lot of ways, we are opting out of what is essential and eternal for what is just optional. These activities and these things that we get pulled in so many directions, and guess what gets left out? things that are spiritual, what lasts. I grew up in a home where this wasn't healthy, I'm just saying, but like Monday night I had Boy Scouts or whatever, Tuesday night was practice, whether it was soccer, basketball, Wednesday nights it's in church. Thursday nights, soccer, practice, basketball, whatever. Fridays, there was always something going on. Saturdays, there was a game going on. And then Sundays, was in church. We just get too busy, and then we start asking our kids, like, well, do you want to go to church? But you better be at practice. You can't miss a game. Like, we're shifting way, way, way over. What's essential is giving away to what's optional. I'll say this. My kids, they've witnessed a lot through church planning, and they've been in it their whole life. And they've seen the best in humanity, and they've seen the worst. But I believe in the church. We believe in the church. Our children will also serve him. Future generations will hear about the wonders of the Lord. It's on the wall downstairs. We're all a part of this. I'm going to have Emily come up and share. Because I think we need to be reminded. I have teenagers in the house, and she's got little ones. And guess what? When you get older, you just get amnesia, and you forget, you know? And you're dealing with... Yeah. Go ahead.
I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, Walker and Laney. A lot of you have said hi to them, and they have not said hi back to you. We have some social things. But Ronnie asked me, kind of just with that mindset of, like, it's been a while since I've been in your shoes, what would be encouraging? And so I rocked Laney, my 2-year-old, to sleep one night, and I just kind of preached myself my own sermon. And so I just want to preface this with saying, like, this is my sermon for Emily. This is what I feel like I need to remember as a parent. You can write your own sermon, okay? Also, really good at failing as a parent. We'll just say that too. Really, really great at failing. Couple reminders. These aren't really organized. These are just like bullet points. Just go with me. I believe that God is sovereign above anything else. That's like the one truth that I believe the most about him. And so with that in mind, I believe that he saw fit for me, knowing everything about me, to be married to Jared and to be mom to Walker and Laney, knowing everything about all of those dynamics in this time with all of the scary things that I'm going to have conversations about. Like, that was very purposeful. And so if you're in a situation too where you're like, oh, it's hard right now, and I don't want to have these conversations with these kids, and I don't even know how to have these conversations with these kids, like, the Lord was very intentional in you being mom or dad to this kid in this time. So that's a comfort to me. A couple of things that I just want to be reminding myself of. I want to pray more for my kids, for who they will be, and not so much of who they are right now. And not so much of like who I want them to become, but who God has for them, who God will have them become. And then just asking the Lord, like, for vision, for words, for some kind of insight to knowing who they'll become, so that when I see it in them, I can encourage it and call it out. And just really being able to partner with God and who they will be, and not so much who they are now. Still pray for their safety when they're away from me. I pray that they'll be good listeners. I pray that they obey. I pray that they'll have friends and all of those things for the here and now. But man, I want them to be disciple makers. I want them to love scripture. I want them to love God. I want them to see people and love people and welcome people. And so I'm praying for that now, for down the line, the long game. Parenting's the long game, right? We're here for a long time. The other part with prayer, here's like a little specific example. Walker, I don't know if this is a stalling technique or if this is true. So, but at night when I'm ready to leave his room, he's all of a sudden very scared. And some of that might be true. I'm not trying to mock his fear, but, I can use that as an example to be like, man, when I'm scared, I pray. And here's what I pray, and here's how I pray. And so any of these little moments that you have with your kids or teaching opportunities of how to pray. If he's got a friend that's sick at school, he loves to come home and tell me that. Well, so-and-so's sick, so-and-so threw up, so-and-so has whatever. Awful news. Let's pray for them. And then you start teaching your kids how to pray for healing for other people and to believe that God will heal them. Like, that's huge. Like, let's start cultivating this belief in that God is really powerful and he moves and he loves people and he heals people. So we pray a verse in Joshua, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. I'll be with you wherever you go. And then Walker always adds on, even when I go to sleep. So he thinks that scripture, we'll read that one day. But teaching your kids to pray in moments. Another example, just real fast. He's got a little girl in his class, this is the saddest thing ever, who she always tells him that she hates herself. She's 4 or 5, I don't know. Sad. And so we pray that she would believe that she's a daughter of God, that she is loved by God, that she is made in the image of him. And I want him to believe these things about him, but also his friends. I want him to know how to pray for his friends. These are a little bit more like discipleship minded. The building of my spiritual life lays the foundation for theirs, for Walker and Lainey. And so if they see me in scripture, I don't know how much of this is actually going to come true. I'm just really counting on it. I'm really hoping for it. I hope that they'll be in scripture. These are all of these habits that we talk about a lot. Sabbath, scripture, solitude, and silence. We do not have a lot of that in our house, but we'll figure that out maybe as we get older. Community is really huge. That's a really important habit that my kids are watching Jared and I be in. And I'm looking around the room, like some of you are in community with a lot of kids, and it's really hard. It's really hard. But it's really, really worth it because this village that's on this tea towel, you build it. They do not come to you. There is no phone number. Like, you go and you put in the work and you create your village. Choose good people. I'll help you. That's my job. Would love to talk to you about that. So habits. The building of my spiritual life is laying the foundation for theirs. They're so little. Making simple moments, spiritual moments. I love, Walker is so fast. He's stronger than any of your kids. He's smarter than any of your kids. I'm building this up in him. And I watch him run sprints in my backyard all the time. Watch me, watch me, watch me. It is exhausting. It is. But when I can go into him and just be like, man, God made you so fast. That is so cool. God made you this. God made you that. God made you this. And then I'm speaking his identity into him from a spiritual standpoint. Not just that I think he's really cool, but like, God made him super cool. He's the coolest ever. You touched on this, but I want to go into it too a little bit of just like your everyday life is discipling your kids and they're watching you and they're learning from you. And I hope that they see you forgive people. I hope that they see you, meet needs for people, to see people. And some of that is having the hard conversation of like, why is that man on the side of the road? Like, I don't ever want to talk about that. But it's so important that Walker sees those people and understands and like knows how to meet their needs. And for Lainey too, people who are sad, people who are rejoicing, like all of these things. I want my kids to like see them and then be in that with them. The way I spend money, which y'all have heard me talk about FPU, y'all know I'm not good with a budget, but I'm discipling my kids. The way that I spend my money is discipling them of how they're gonna spend their money. And I have to tell him all the time, like, we don't have snow cone money every day. I wish that I did have snow cone money every day. The way we take care of our stuff. This is the last thing. The joy I feel as a parent is just like a tiny, tiny glimpse of the joy that God feels when he's looking down at us. And, man, God loves you. And God loves being your father. And he's so open to you and is ready to welcome you. And all of these things that we want for our kids, love and to come in and to belong and to be with. Like, man, that's the same thing looking down at God. Sometimes I was thinking about, like, when Walker and Lainey sometimes get along. It's, like, the best thing ever. And you're just like, this is cute. They're doing exactly what I want them to do. Don't you think that when we're all, like, getting along, God's like, yes, that's it. You're doing great. I don't know. That's my sermon. That's me to me. So go home and write your own.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, y'all stand. There are no perfect parents. Children, they are a gift, a blessing, and they're his. From him and for him, and for every single one of us this morning, I want to, I just want you to think about that. I want you to close your eyes and that whole thing of looking in the mirror and what you see when you look in the mirror. I want you to think about that and who you see in the mirror. And do you see yourself as a son or a daughter of a dad who loves you unconditionally, beyond what you can imagine, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter how you failed today, no matter what's in front of you, do you see yourself as beloved? And that you have a Heavenly Father who's looking at you, who is cheering you on, and who loves you just as you are, and yet loves you so much that he doesn't want you to stay in that and stay the same. And the God who created all of this, the God who makes it thunder and rain, has his eye on you. And he knows you and he loves you. Father God, remind us of who you are and your faithfulness, and that you love us as sons and daughters, and that in that, through us, the next generation would know that about themselves. And that you love us so much that you, Jesus, you came. The Son was obedient to the point of death so that we could have life. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus, that he is King and that he is Lord. And if we trust him with everything and believe that he is God and Lord and that he gave his life for us, if I believe that, he comes and takes residence in my life and I'm made new and I am a son or a daughter. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for showing us what it looks like to live this life, to know you and to love you. So may we be faithful, may we trust you. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.